And now, from the world's leading maritime and offshore news website, gcaptain.com, comes the talk show for maritime professionals and enthusiasts, bringing you the latest news, discussion, and interviews with the industry's movers and shakers. This is G Captain Radio with your hosts, Jeff Eccles and Captain John Conrad.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of G Captain Radio. My name is Jeff Eccles and in the studio with me is John Conrad. Welcome, John. How are you today?
Doing good.
All right. Good to have you here. This broadcast is for the week of November 11th, 2013. Listeners, this is the place we bring you the latest news and happenings in the maritime and offshore industry. Today, we've got a couple of interesting things to talk about. There is a new stealth destroyer that has been deployed, an awesome-looking vessel. So we'll talk about that and how it's going to serve, what the plans are for that. Also, we'll go back to this pirate thing. We've talked a lot about pirates, and there seems to be perhaps a novel approach, probably something that you wouldn't expect off the top of your head, but, well, maybe you would if you've actually listened to this particular style of sound that some folks are using to ward off some pirates. So we'll talk about that as well. So let's talk about this stealth destroyer, John. This is a new class of destroyer ship that is being put out by the Navy, and apparently was the first one just launched?
Just launched November 5th. They released the video of the Zumwalt class, also known as the DDG 1000 destroyer in Maine, at Bath Iron Works in Maine.
In Maine. So when we think about destroyers, at least in my mind, I think of gray naval ships, sort of almost going back to the World War II films of armadas of ships going across, and these destroyers have a very distinct look. Now, I have seen the picture of this particular destroyer, and I can definitely say it has a distinct look, but nothing at all like the destroyers that I would picture in my mind or that my son would see in his history books.
Yes, it is painted the traditional U.S. Navy color of haze gray and underway, they say.
Good. Well, we've got the gray going. That at least warms my heart a little bit.
But the design is a radical new design. It's the first radically new warship the Navy has built. They have experimented with some stealth designs, but they were smaller vessels, really in the experimental stage, and they never really took off. There was one, remember 10 years ago, I saw it operate in San Diego, and they take it out and run tests, but it was never meant to be. It was meant to be experimental. It wasn't a full warship. Mm-hmm. This is a warship, and conceivably, according to some experts, the U.S.'s most powerful warship.
Wow. So the thing that makes this ship most distinct when looking at it, looking at the pictures, is the bow. And I don't know what that's called. Maybe you do, but the bow is basically, the direction of it is inverted from what we normally see. If you glance at it quickly, this looks like a submarine, and the bow tilts to the, or slants toward the back of the ship, back aft, as opposed to a typical bow, which from the waterline tilts or leans forward. So do you know the name of that particular bow by any chance?
Well, the hull structure, the bow is a little bit new. It's kind of modeled like, looks a little similar to the X-Bows, which is a new workboat design. But the hull, the full hull, it's not just the bow that's new, it's the hull design. And the hull is called a tumble hole hull. Tumble hole, tumble home hull.
That's a tongue twister. Say that three times quickly.
But these hulls were first developed in France as a way to increase the speed and stability of a vessel that's maneuvering in a canal, oddly enough, and also dead into large seas. So this hull is very effective. It doesn't ride over the seas. It cuts right through heavy seas. So if you are maneuvering directly into the swell, This hull design is supposedly a lot better than traditional hull designs. You're going to have a faster vessel, a smoother ride, and the benefits are going to be substantial. The problem is that it's very rare for a ship to head directly into the swell. And when you start having a swell that comes at any angle to the bow, this hull design has proved to be non-ideal. Now there can be compensations to make it act like more like a traditional ship when in a beam sea, and we hope the Navy has done so. So we don't think it's you know, it'll probably maneuver okay in a beam sea. That's just a guess. But the real reason for this unusual hull design is to make it stealthy. This radical change is a feature of stealth. This vessel is going to be invisible to many radars.
Well, and as odd as this sounds that I'm going to say here, this does evoke the same type of look or appearance as the stealth bomber in terms of the angular design of the hull, and the way the superstructure on it goes up as well. So there must, obviously, the engineers know what they're doing, but those similarities that are with the stealth bomber with this particular stealth destroyer must work both ways in providing some of that stealthiness for the vessel.
Absolutely, and there are a few other interesting design features of this. This is a large ship, so our current warships, our best class of warship is the Ollie Burke destroyer. This vessel is also a destroyer. What we have lost is the battleships. The battleships were my favorite ships. The Iowa class battleships were the ones with the large 14-inch guns and the impressive look. But this vessel is only 10 feet shorter than the size classification of a battleship. It's nowhere near the size of the Iowa, but it's only 10 feet short of being considered by naval experts to be a battleship. It is 600 feet long, 80 feet wide, powered by two gas turbine engines, and it is a impressive ship just by itself.
So an interesting story about this hull design. We're broadcasting here from Morro Bay, California, on the Pacific, and I think it was maybe about a year ago. I don't know if you were in town when this boat came to Morro Bay, and it was too large to get in our little harbor here, so they stayed right outside our harbor, and they sent in their skiff, which was a pretty impressive boat itself. This had the big hydraulic garage door type openings that would come off the side of the boat, and about a 35-foot tender came out, which was nice. That's bigger than my sailboat. But the hull design looked the same. I remember looking at that boat, and if my memory serves me correctly, it was called the A.
Yes.
And it was owned, I don't know if it's still owned, by a Russian billionaire.
It was, at the time, it was the largest super yacht. He's since built an even larger vessel, so it's no longer the largest. But yes, that was a very unusual design, and the name was unusual itself.
Yeah.
Just the letter A.
Were you here when that boat was out there?
Seeing the actual boat, but we had actually covered, GCAM had covered that vessel during the build process and followed it through because it was the largest super yacht. So I was very familiar with I was upset I missed actually seeing it.
Yeah, but the striking thing about the design
all
of that
white.
Boat.
That
yes,
one was
it was
all white.
All white, beautiful, beautiful boat, but strange looking, frankly. I'm fortunate enough here to have a view of the water and the harbor entrance from my place here in Morro Bay. And I remember getting my binoculars and looking out there because I thought that this was a submarine, basically moored off the off of our coast. I was wondering what the heck was going on. But this design for this destroyer is the same as that one. So maybe this is a new trend. And you also mentioned, what is it, some of the work boats? What other type of boats are using this hull design now?
It's not the exact hull design, but you have the X-Bow, which is, and there's another one, I'm forgetting the name, which the X-Bow is a little more rounded, but there's another design that's a little more pointy, but kind of, These are being used in the North Sea, particularly in areas of heavy swell. As a lot of the vessels are DP now, you can, you know, the vessel, the workboat sit alongside the rigs, and the rig and the workboat turn together to to always face into the swell when they're doing their most critical operation, which is transferring equipment from the workboats up to the ships.
Mm-hmm.
So those vessels, the drill ships, the workboats, they can head directly into the sea. So some of the work, the drill ships are usually a more of a round the bow and pretty much a barge design, a pretty flat bottom. They're not optimally designed for this, but they're such a large vessel that it doesn't matter as much. But the smaller workboats that come alongside, they're getting into some pretty interesting designs. But what strikes me most about this vessel is, you know, a lot of the stealth designs are ugly. A lot of the new designs are, you know, you say, and obviously the Navy isn't an organization that's into aesthetics.
Right.
If you've ever been on a Navy ship, the ugliest possible color, green, is what adorns the walls of all Navy vessels. Right. And puke green, I think they call it.
Yeah.
So they are not interested in aesthetics, but some would say this vessel looks impressive, and some say it's, in its own way, it's actually a beautiful ship.
Well, it's certainly interesting to look at. So I would think that over the next decade or so, this whole design and one similar to it, because it seems like they're being used more, will have to prove themselves in different conditions. And if they do, I suppose we'll start seeing more designs like this.
Well, there were originally 32 of these ships planned. But with budget cuts and so forth, they've reduced it down to two or three, an option for three.
That's a big reduction from 30 down to three.
Absolutely. This vessel is costing $3.45 billion, but each subsequent one is going to go down considerably in cost. I think the number two is 2-point-something billion.
And
then the third is going to be slightly less. So it really depends on how these vessels perform.
Man, that is a lot of money for a boat.
Now
we're talking billions.
The thing where we don't have confirmed, but the Navy's not talking about, is this may be a platform for some revolutionary weapon systems. So the reason that we haven't built a new battleship, even a ship close to this size, is a Zumwalt vessel, is because the traditional, you know, cannon technology reached its pinnacle on the Iowa class, the 14-inch guns. I believe the Japanese had 16-inch guns. Their guns were a little better, but we couldn't push the technology of shooting a lead slug through a barrel any further. And as new missile systems came into being, you couldn't get close enough with those traditional guns to shoot an enemy ship.
Right.
So they really became ineffective overnight. In World War II, it was the aircraft carrier and the airplane, and there were very few naval sea battles. So we lost the battleships and we lost the large guns. Even the Ali Burke only has, I believe, a 5-inch gun, fairly small. But this vessel, there are rumors that it's going to carry either a railgun or a free electron laser. So the Navy has been testing two brand new technologies that are basically deck guns, but space age, Star Wars type. So a railgun is basically a gun that uses magnets, and I'm way oversimplifying this, but magnets to hurl a projectile out at enormous speeds. And then a free electron laser is a very powerful laser that, you know, that destroys things, Star Wars style.
Right, right.
So Navy's being very secretive about this, but there is potential that this is a platform for one of those two technologies. And if that happens, we're still talking great distances. These missiles are still going to be the primary, but we may get a little closer back to the use, the need for traditional ships with big guns.
Interesting. Well, and in looking at the picture too, that is posted on G-Captain, conspicuously missing from the deck of this boat are any guns. And I don't know if that's because maybe it's not outfitted yet. for its duty, for her duty, or these guns are smaller and these new technology guns. We just don't know at this point.
Well, they say what the armament is, but I don't know what any of this means. I'm not a naval expert. So there is a 62 caliber advanced gun system, 920 by 155 millimeter round gun, and I'm making a fool of myself, but two Mark 110 57 millimeter guns. I don't know what any of that means, but yes, it's missing a big gun.
Yeah.
It's got a few smaller guns that can do some close range stuff, but it's missing a big gun. And hopefully the Navy has perfected either this laser or this rail gun technology, and this will be a real ship of war. That's kind of what I'm hoping, because in the Navy, he's really been taken over by the fighter pilots. It's the Top Gun Navy. Mm. The aircraft carriers are our number one,
right,
you know, means of projecting force. And the ship drivers have really taken a second seat in the Navy in the last, and it's been that way since World War II for decades. This might be our opportunity for the glory to return to the coffee-swilling, knuckle-dragging ship drivers like myself.
So says the ship captain. Very, very well put. I like it. Now, an interesting thing, too, about the name and the class, because I was a little confused at first, because I know this ship is called the Zumwalt, but it's also a Zumwalt class. So, and I'm picking this up right from your G Captain article here, the ship, the lead ship and the class are named in honor of former Chief of Naval Operations Admiral Elmo R. Bud Zumwalt Jr., who served as Chief of Naval Operations from 1970 to 74. So the whole class of ship is named after him, and then apparently the very first one to be launched is named after him as well.
Well, that's traditional of the Navy, like you have in any class, the Ollie Burke class destroyers. The first ship was the Ollie Burke. Great World War II admiral. The Los Angeles class submarines, the first Los Angeles class submarine was the Los Angeles.
Okay, so I didn't know that tradition. So that's normally how it works then.
But I'm really excited by this name. Elmo Zumwalt was the youngest person ever to become CNO, Chief of Naval Operations, the top spot in the Navy. Great admiral. He was admiral during Vietnam, and he was a people's admiral. I forget he had name tags like "Hi, I'm Elmo." He would wear on his thing, and he'd go in, and he was just a regular sailor who had a way with. But you know, we're getting a little personal here. But he was one of the persons who authorized Agent Orange in Vietnam.
Mm.
And I've written a few articles about it, but that's what my dad passed away of, Agent Orange, in 1999. He's in Arlington National Cemetery now. But Zumwalt was one of the authorizers, but he authorized the use of Agent Orange, suspecting that it would create health problems, while his son was fighting in the jungles of Vietnam. And his son contracted cancer from Agent Orange and died at a young age, and his grandsons were learning disabled from this, and he's written really interesting papers on the ethics of battle. And a lot of those choices and papers, some of it has been ignored, but some of it has been, you know, carried through to today. But it's a man who weighed every decision with a real sense of empathy for the ground troops. And he made some decisions which were, he really had to struggle and gave him great personal pain, killed his oldest son.
Mm-hmm.
But a great example of leadership. If you're studying leadership, Zumwalt would be the first one, I'd say. If you want any naval leaders, he'd be probably my top suggestion of get his biography and learn about him, because a truly excellent leader who wasn't perfect, but admitted his failures and really tackled with problems like Agent Orange and didn't shy away from any of them.
Very interesting. So, and 40 years later, has a ship and the class named after him. Now, is he still alive or has he passed away?
No, he passed away.
Okay. All right.
He passed away in 2000. 1920 to 2000 was when he lived. And I also want to give a shout out to Ingalls Pascagoula. So the hull was built at Bath Ironworks, but the whole top side, which is the advanced radar missile systems and actually the bridge of the ship and the command center, was built in Ingalls Pascagoula. And we have an interesting video on G Captain, which we'll link to, of the top section was sent up on a barge to Bath Ironworks, and they actually had to weld it. So the ship was built in two pieces on different sides of the country and welded together. So,
wow, fascinating.
Very interesting ship, and well, that's some cool videos on G-Captain.
That's good. So listeners, check out those videos, and thank you too, John, for the backstory on the name. Good job. All right, well, we will take a little break here. We're going to hear from the sponsors of our show, Six Maritime. We're happy to have them on board, and we'll come back to you with another story about some what we'll call advanced weaponry. So here's a word from our sponsor, Six Maritime.
Six Maritime is a leading provider of professional security services for the maritime industry. Using state-of-the-art military and industry practices, Six Maritime provides clients with tailor-made, cost-effective solutions that ensure both safety and security in every environment. Six Maritime specializes in the use of early threat detection technology for both mobile and immobile clients, giving them increased warning time to any threat. Avoid the violence, deter attackers, keep your crew and cargo safe. Leading the next generation of security, logistically simple, technologically advanced. Six Maritime. To learn more, visit sixmaritime.com.
Welcome back. Thank you again to Six Maritime for sponsoring the show. We certainly appreciate it. So speaking of advanced weaponry that was on that stealth destroyer, John, there's a story out there about, I think at one time was probably a top secret weapon of military units, perhaps all over the globe, but it is something that has been adopted by the shipping industry to protect vessels from pirates. And if we let this get out, we break news here on G-Captain, and we really shine a light on things here on G-Captain Radio. So this may help neighbors to neighbors problems. This may help mothers take care of some things with teenage kids. But this advanced weaponry may be a big solution here, and we're going to talk about it. So what is it exactly that these guys are doing on ships projecting outward to keep these pirates at bay?
This is called an LRAD. It's really, really cool technology. It's actually been used in the Navy for a long time, and it's actually used in Disney World right now. So the sound waves, the speaker right now of your iPad or headphones is vibrating, and it's creating all the molecules between your headphones and your eardrum vibrate, then your eardrum vibrates. This system is like a sound laser. It doesn't vibrate the air. It connects, and through magic, I don't know the physics behind this, but it connects right into the inner ear, and it's like it's a very narrow beam. So it's got pretty good distance. So a mile away, you can aim this thing right at someone, and you can talk to them, and it sounds like the voices inside your head are talking to you. And it's very spooky because you look around and it sounds like the guy's whispering right in your ear, but he might be a mile away, and you look around. And I've actually used this. I was, when they were testing it, when we first launched GCAM, they invited us to a trade show, and they tested it. And then my drill ship, we bought one, and we were playing around with it. We'd get someone at the other end of the shipyard, and we'd point this loudspeaker at him, and we'd start talking to him and messing with him. And he'd look around, who is that? And they actually use it, I found out, in Disney World for some of the special effects where I think the House of Horrors, there's a point where a ghost is kind of whispering in your ear, and you look around and there's no one around.
Right.
And it's this LRAD system.
So to take LRAD up to the next level, though, apparently Britney Spears has worked into the formula here.
Yes. Well, we have to talk about the utter and complete failure of LRAD first. This was the anti-pirate weapon. 5 years ago, ships weren't allowed to carry weapons, the majority of them. So all these ship owners started buying LRADs and putting them up on ship. And this was going to be the big solution to get pirates. Because not only can you whisper in someone's ear a mile away, but if you turn up the volume and shout. It's like someone shouting in your ear. It's the loudest, most deafening sound you could possibly hear.
Right.
And when I talk to the LRAD engineers, you can plug this into your iPhone or a speaker and you can play any song you want, but the engineers consistently try to test different songs, and they've tried to find the most annoying sound possible to man. And 5 years ago, that most annoying sound was the most effective thing to drive away, not just pirates, but anyone who you want to drive away, was a infant baby crying played backwards.
Oh, so it wasn't necessarily Britney Spears. It was the
That was 5 years
infant.
Ago, but they have advanced, done a lot more testing, and found out more annoying than a baby crying backwards is Britney ears screaming in your head.
Yep.
And I have a suggestion for them. I think they can take this a step further. And maybe I'd be more than willing to go down to LRAD headquarters and record some of my own voice, because
Well, I think Britney Spears' music is pretty scary just on its own. Mm-hmm. And then you run it through an LRAD, and to me that seems like the just invincible weapon right there. That seems like it'll work every time.
It's proving effective. But what's, all joking aside, what's interesting here is we tried this LRAD and the pirates would just shoot back at it. And you can't fight an RPG and machine guns with an LRAD.
Right. Sound against bullets doesn't seem like a very good match.
So there was one famous ship, I forget the name of the ship, but the security, onboard security, didn't have weapons. They had a bunch of these LRADs. He's very powerful. But again, it's a laser beam. You're in a rocking ship. The right. pirates zigzagging. You're trying to point this sonic laser beam at them. It's not just effective, and they're shooting back at you. Mm-hmm. So the pirates boarded this vessel, and the security team actually jumped off the ship when the pirates came on and abandoned these LRADs. And that was really the last you heard of LRAD technology. And the industry slowly, over a couple of years, started to arm these security guards, and we've really solved the problem of piracy with maritime security firms. But there's also the problem of, how do you know who is a pirate and who isn't a pirate? So you get into areas like the Red Sea, and there are a lot of fishing boats. And the fishing boats look just like the pirate. How do you determine who is a pirate and who's a fishing boat? And so we're getting now to where we combine these technologies. So you still need a security team with weapons to fight these pirates, but you can use the LRAD to effectively provoke. So you see a ship, you're not sure if that's a pirate or not. You point the LRAD at it. If you shoot Britney Spears in them and they don't run away, you wonder, what are they doing?
Right.
If they continue to come after you, you can back up the LRAD with a weapon. So I think that's what we're seeing here. We're seeing a re-exploration of, okay, we solved the problems with weapons, but we want to take whatever measures we can to not actually shoot these pirates. Is LRAD effective? And the jury's out. I can't say 100% if security team should carry LRADs and additional weapons, but it's something that some ships are exploring, and it might work.
So LRADs, again, long range acoustic device is what LRAD stands for. So they are, to your knowledge, then they are still being deployed somewhat.
Yes, and they're not just used for anti-pirate. The military has them for crowd control, for talking between units. You have one Navy ship that's in formation and wants to talk to another Navy ship. You can point one of these out. You don't have to pick up the phone. You don't need satellites. You can, two Navy captains can point their LRADs back of each other and have a conversation like that sounds exactly like you and I in this room.
Amazing.
And talk over distances. So there are a lot of commercial, Disney World's using it for these. You're going to see it in movie theaters. It's going to probably in another 5 years. You have IMAX now, but you'll be actually beamed with these sonics because they're real realistic and they sound like you're in the room with it.
Do you know if there's any danger of damaging the eardrums? I mean, something that I would think about is this magnified sound coming at me, and if it's at too many decibels, my eardrum gets busted out and I start bleeding out of the ear canal.
Yes.
So that can happen.
Yes.
Okay. And that's part of the effectiveness of the as a weapon.
And these come in various sizes. So on my ship, we had a loudspeaker, a little portable device that you could carry around. Now, in order, even at its max setting, you'd have to be within 10 feet of the person and point it right at their ears to cause internal bleeding. But these LRADs come, the ones that are used against the pirates on big ships, you know, they have a dome that's, I don't know, about 3 to 5 feet wide. So that one, you know, that could cause someone to lose their hearing for up to, I'm guessing at the range, but many more feet than the smaller unit. Mm-hmm. So it really depends on the size of this unit, how much damage, and at what range. But, you know, it is a dangerous device, and you do need some training in order to use it.
Interesting. All right. Well, we poked a little fun at Britney Spears, which I don't know. I think she deserves. I'm sorry. I'm a fan of good old fashioned rock and roll. So Britney Spears music never really did it for me. But a very interesting talk on the long range acoustic devices, the LRADs, and Britney, as a matter of fact. So any other thoughts on that before we sign off? Because already, John, we're out of time.
Well, we had one on the ship, and we really didn't find a ton of practical uses for it. But man, that playing around with that thing was a lot of fun.
Sounds like fun. Sounds like the kids would have a kick messing with one of those as well. Actually, that'd be fun for Halloween. Yes. We're past Halloween already, but with the kids walking up the driveway, you could make little ghost noises when they're at the base of the driveway. That'd be fun to do next year. Next year. Do you still have that around?
No. Oh, that was bought by the company. I think the cheapest, that one was about $3,500. That's the cheapest. And then they go up from that. So it would be a Halloween investment. But
yeah, it would. It would. All right, John. Well, a pleasure having you this week. Listeners, thanks for being here. John, closing thoughts?
Oh, we will have videos and links to these things, but the Zumwalt class is just launched. Now they go into weapons testing and a lot of the fun stuff. So more to come on that story. And the LRAD is not the only interesting anti-pyro weapon. There are a lot of other cool things on G-Captain, so check them out.
Very true, and G-Captain is the place to find out about that. So keep checking G-Captain for that. And of course, we appreciate you listening to the show every week as well. And we are continuing to build our listenership. Be sure to send a link to the G-Captain radio to your friends and colleagues. Let them know what we're doing here. And
it's been very effective, so I wanted to thank everyone. The stats are up. We're up to well over 300 listeners per week now, and it's because you guys are sharing those links. So thank you.
So very good. We appreciate that, and we appreciate Six Maritime being a sponsor of the show as well. So thank you for listening, listeners. Be sure to tune in next week to keep up with what's going on in the maritime and offshore industry. On behalf of John Conrad and myself, Jeff Eccles, we look forward to speaking with you again next week. Be well and be safe.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest in maritime and offshore news. G-Captain Radio is a production of GCaptain.com and is recorded weekly in Morro Bay, California. For more information or to be a guest on the show, visit GCaptain.com.